Yuck. Skunk. W8FU. Good morning, Sean. N8WRO. Good morning. Starting a short week, so I guess that's not all bad. Yeah, that's right. I had a day off yesterday, so just a 4-day. On this end, we're looking forward to the good old days weekend. A lot of family members come back. Of a homecoming sort of for those up here in this neck of the woods. Yep, I've done quite a few good old days over the years, but I haven't in I probably haven't done it in 10 or 15, but I used to go all the time when the kids were smaller and then in my biker days in the 80s. Yeah, same thing here. We used to do the thing because you're a resident, so we set up the chairs the day before and the parade route for the Sunday the parade. But I haven't done that in ages. I just go straight down the road. Three doors down is my brother-in-law's place, and that's where they stage the setup for the floats. So we're helping out with the other brother-in-law, the Hamlin Pub float. That's all we do. And we see most of the parade go by without actually being on Main Street. It's been almost 40 years, 39 years. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun weekend. And, of course, family comes back home, so that part's nice. So are you a lifelong resident? No, we landed here in 86. The day my daughter was born is when we moved into this place. Originally from Utica. So it was Utica to Waldenburg, 22, and the Plank, and then from Waldenburg to Richmond in 86. All right, because I had a lot of friends up there, people that, acquaintances and that, and it was much more... you know, everybody knew everybody in the late 70s, early 80s. And, I was just going to see if you knew any of my peeps. Well, I found out the other day that Wally apparently goes to my same barber, who's the mayor's son, actually. And, yeah, it's still a relatively small town, although it's grown up a little bit. It's no longer Mayberry RFD, but it started out that way. That was kind of neat. Not John Moore, when you say the mayor. He's like the manager, right? Correct. John is the city manager. And Tim Ricks is our mayor. And interesting you bring John's name up. No relation, by the way, but we might be contacting him here for that. I talked to Dave about that a little bit. We might include him in our plans, and we get extra credit for including a city emergency manager as well as the county. All right, well, tell him I said hi when you see him. He and I have a rich history. We've been business friends for quite a few years. So I had a school teacher, Larry Schultz. He was up your way. He was very, very instrumental in my career path. Yeah, that name rings a bell as well. And yeah, we've gone for different things over the years, and they go back far enough. I actually assisted in the city's first website, but that was way back. I can't do that anymore. But Yeah, John's been around a long time. Yeah, he has, so. But, yeah, I know all the guys up there. Earl's still there, but, you know, a lot of people have retired. Gone through a few chiefs and know the current chief and previous chiefs before that, so. The nature of the business, right, whatever. But, one other, I know, I'm not gonna bend your ear too much with these, but Suarez, does that name ring a bell? No, that one doesn't. However, the previous chief, of course, was a captain at the sheriff's department. I knew him quite well. Oh, yeah, no, he was the best. So, we still talk every now and again, very, very infrequently, but I think he's just retired and doing the skiing thing. I don't know if he went on to do anything else. But, no, Suarez had no connection to any of that. He was a guy that, he's kind of my best friend at college. And Schultz was the guy that, he was a teacher from 79. So, you know, by 86. I don't know if he'd have been retired by then. Of course, I had graduated and moved on, but he talked me into going to the school I went to, and he knew Tony Suarez from up there. He was one of the neighborhood kids, and we met each other in school, and actually stood up at his wedding. So I haven't seen him in quite a few years, though. I always think about looking him up, trying to figure out where he's at. But they were a local family right there on Main Street, right? Been there for ages. Ah, well, enough memory lane. Yeah, well, just to follow up on that, John, though, there's a Schultz on City Council, and he is on Main Street. I can't quite remember his first name, but he came back to City Council. He's there, and, yeah, he's they used to have a fire truck. Stuff like that. Used to be in the parade. Yeah, that it'd probably have to be a son if it were, because he was my high school teacher, my electronics teacher in high school. And he would have been, I mean, you know, he probably looked like he was 1,000 years old to me at that age when I was 16, 17 years old. But he has to be at least 25 to 30 years. Well, no, he could be 10. Let's see, if I was 16, he'd be 16. Yeah, he could have been about 15 years older. That would have put him in 67. He'd be well into his 70s, not 80. So, can't be a son, probably. And, of course, who'd I remember? Joe. You probably remember Joe from both Another Life and probably from up there in Manasi. Oh, yeah, that's a name from the past, yeah. Definitely remember that. Of course, they got their, Paul is still here, right? I haven't been there in a long time. It used to be, apparently before I arrived, it used to be a movie theater. I didn't even know that. You know, he was the animal control officer for a number of years. Yeah. That's where I remember him from. You're correct. I think it's some other people we probably have in common up here. But I thought Earl retired, but I keep on hearing him on dispatch, so I don't know if he's back for part-time or if he's actually, maybe I missed it, maybe he's still full-time. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in quite a few. We used to talk pretty regularly, but... I haven't heard from him, so maybe he is quasi-retired, who knows. Ah, yeah, I love it up there. I know so many connections, so many people up that way. List goes on, but enough on all that. I should move there, right? I remember when my buddy Tony got married, and I had to go up there for my tux fitting. I remember thinking, oh, my God, this is like the other side of the world. You know, it's like, you know, you had to drive for what seemed like forever through, you know, through nowhere. You know, nothing was built up, you know, at that time, you know, we're talking 80, 82. It was, there was just nothing built up between here and there. Hell, Clinton Township seemed like it was out in the woods. That was just somewhere else entirely. Now it's just hop, skip, and a jump on it all the time. It's weird how that dilates over time with the growth of the suburbs.
KD8ZUW, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, NHWRO. Go ahead.
How are you guys? I wanted to say good morning to Sean. I'm not familiar with the other gentleman. Just on my way home, I'm here at 14 mile and 75, and it is elbows to you know what, and I don't really know why. What's going on 75 South?
Well, good morning. Well, that's an interesting looking truck. Anyhow, I couldn't tell you. Don't know of any construction or anything that way, so it's anyone's guess. Maybe you got an accident or something. Although, from 14 to 12 is always, you know, with 696 is messed up, so, you know, everybody's scrambling for different ways to get, you know, to get around. But coming south, you should be able to go any way you want on 696. Yeah, from 75 you can go any way you want, so it shouldn't be that. Who knows? Anyhow, good morning. I'll pass over to Tim. Gosh, I'm so great. Yeah, I didn't catch the call sign, so I'm turning back over to the I-75.
That last caller, I think you got stepped on a lot. I'm sorry about that.
Nah, that sounded like a network error. There was something going on on the network and missed almost all of it. All right, I'm just trying to see. It was just, I was mentioning back in the day when I was working where you're at, Sean, it was a half-hour drive down to Mount Clemens, and my wife at the time, she had a half-hour drive up to Port Huron as a nurse. Those were the days. I did not have to do freeways that are traffic jam-filled. That was a good part. I'm going to turn it back over to Sean right now. All right, that one was much better. I don't know what happened on that last one, but you were all and we couldn't make it out. So it sounded very, very networky. And there's no rain, so it's not rain fade. Who knows? But the last one was fine.
I had assumed like he was talking during the ID or something like that.
That may have been it. I'm on the Yaesu right now, but the other radio I have off to the side here is that Kinect Systems 800D Plus, and so far so good on that. It's working pretty well. That's that radio that's the DMR plus VHF, UHF. Sean? Yeah, who knows? So, well, I'm going to stop in here at Star Buckaroo's and get myself my morning brew. See if we can get kickstarted. I got a little jump this morning, so I'm just a little bit ahead of schedule. So maybe I'll go in. So depends on the line. Let's see here in a second. I'll be back in probably 5. W8FU. All righty. tomorrow. I'm going to step out for now, but I will be listening.
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. Just a quick little bit of traffic. On the Richmond machine, there was no network error, so it was likely an ID or something like that.
Thanks, Dean. I appreciate the report, and officially welcome to Macomb County ARPSC Group. Appreciate you joining up.
Yeah, of course. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good learning experience, and it seems like there's quite a few extra things I can learn that will assist me in the hobby as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate it. I'm going to step out and be clear on your finals. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
Have a good one, Dean. N8WRO.
Anyhow, W8X feedback.
What did you end up getting this morning for Java?
Just a tall pike.
My son lives in the Seattle area. I don't go out there very much at all, but boy, I tell you, when I do, it's nice going to the mothership there, the original Starbucks, and that's pretty much what I get when I go there.
Yeah, I hear one of the criticisms of Starbucks is the price, and everybody says, oh, you know, $5 coffee and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, if you order those kind of things, you know, if you want a triple espresso, macchiato, caramel, twisted, blah, 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 you know, yeah, you know, the price starts to climb up, but if you stick with coffee, it's competitive. It's not, you know, it's a little bit more, but not, you know, $2.65 for a tall pipes, and you're going to pay over $2 just about anywhere for a coffee, so, these days, anyhow, so, tis what it is.
Yeah, lately I've just been doing the Keurig K-Cup thing, and I got stuck on this Javalia Colombian, and I just kind of have to have that now. So just one or maybe two cups in the morning, that's enough.
Yeah, I'm a Keurig person at home. That's what we drink. We have this dark roast from Green Mountain. Dark Magic, that's what it's called, and I really like that. So, if you find a Keurig you like, it's you know, it's a win-win. I've got the cups down to about as cheap as 42 cents per. They usually fluctuate somewhere in that 42 to 46 cents per cup, so. That's not horrible.
Yeah, I remember when the Keurig first came out, that Green Mountain. I was all kinds of varieties of that. But I do the same thing, too. I look at per unit cost and, you know, try to get it down there. But with Amazon, it's just, I just go through Amazon now, and it's just crazy fast. Sometimes I can order it in the morning, and it gets here in the afternoon. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we just did that. You know, we usually wait till we get down to one box. We get four boxes of 24. I usually get one or two of those. So, you know, it's good. 96 or whatnot. Double that. You know, two. What would it be? 96 or almost 200? Whatever. Well, 290, and we were down to one box. We get down to one 24-pack. My wife usually says, okay, order, and noticed. And we were down to the bottom of the last 24, and she goes, uh-oh, she goes, we forgot to order. And so I says, this was, I think, Saturday. So I got online, I ordered it. We had it that night. It was, you know, between, it said be delivered between 5 and 10, and I think we had it about 7 o'clock. It was crazy.
Hey, Dakota, if you're out there, you can jump in any time. Yeah, that Amazon is just ridiculous. I did the same thing. Pure green tea. I like that. It's kind of expensive, but same thing. Oh, and out of, sure enough, ordered it in the morning, and it got to me in the afternoon before nightfall. Just amazing.
Yeah, we're spoiled by that. All right, I'm at work. I'm going to get inside. Catch everybody later. WAFU.
Have a good shift, Sean. NAWRO.
Probably about 35,000, 40,000 miles, 40,000 miles a year.
Roughly, I'm going to say between 40 and 50,000 miles a year.
Man, that's some good work. You must get oil changes biweekly and tires done quarterly.
I just had my tires replaced probably about 2 months ago, you know, because the equipment I carry and everything else like that, you know, the bags wear out. And I just got I get an oil change every 10,000. I think that's what the computer says and what fleet wants.
It's a lot of wheel time. That's probably good and bad sometimes, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going back out to Grand Rapids. I was just there on Friday, but they wouldn't let me in, so they said you have to come on Tuesday. So since I couldn't do that one, I went up to Marne, M-E-R-N-E, which is just north of Walker. So did that. And a couple weeks ago, I was down in Sturgis, and I drove all the way up to Muskegon, and then I went home.
Good for you. Hey, I'm pulling into the driveway here. Just had to do first day of school drop-off, so got to get back in the house and start working. I'm working remote today, so I will be probably on and off the nose throughout the day, but I will catch up with you soon. It's K8RUH, and I will be clear on your final.
Sounds good. I'll be on the road for the next 2.5 hours, so. So anything you have, K8RUH from KCAKGO.
Hey, V1.
Oh, just cruising right along. Haven't even hit 69 yet. Well, it'll be in like 2 minutes.
Getting some interference on the end of that. Who was it?
Missing down from, China.
Yeah, not quite Saginaw, but yeah, I'm just hitting Sashaw Road now.
Oh, wait, I thought you lived. No, you don't live up by Saginaw. Don't you live by Green Blank or something like that?
Yeah, I used to live in Green Blank. It's about 6 miles from Saginaw County, but about a half hour from Saginaw itself.
I gotcha. Yeah, my son lives in Burton.
Yeah, that's not too far away. Just I know somebody else that was in Burton that I work with. But yeah, not too far away. It's closer to Grand Blanc, but yeah, I'm familiar with Burton.
He lived in Davidson off of the freeway and Irish Road, and then he moved, bought a house, and now he's on the other side of 69 in the Burton area off of, I can't even think of the Olympic Trot or something like that.
And my doctor's off Olympic Trot. Remember, he used to live by the Menards. Spent many dollars at Menards.
Yeah, same here. By little things eventually it adds up.
Yeah, it's my preferred store when I need to get something for the house. Just, one of those stores where all No Answers employees don't.
Yeah, that's like Walmart pharmacy. They know me, they know my wife. My daughter walks and they go, oh, who are you picking it up for? Your daddy or mom? Kind of thing, so I get enough during every month.
Yeah, I remember one time somebody looking for cartridges for a pass load nail gun, and I had like seen them a couple weeks before or something like that. So I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, they're over here. And quite a few times I've helped people out, like I worked there.
Oh, you did that too, eh? Yeah, I'll do that where I'm in an aisle and somebody's looking for something and we're almost looking for the exact same thing, so I help the other person out, they help me out.
I think the last one was a lady was looking for something to get rid of moles. She's like, do you know anything about getting rid of moles? I'm like, oh, do I ever. They take out about 20 a year, and yeah, I told her what I do, what I use. I guess her husband had passed away, and he was the one that took care of it, so she was trying to figure out what to do about their mole problem.
Oh, yeah. I've done that. Yeah, mold, it's not a fun thing. Once you get it, it's hard to get rid of sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. They're very... a lot of them in the area you can see in the spring, really. See mounds of dirt everywhere, all over people's yards. And, I don't know. They come in from the woods next to me. I can see the path where they come into the yard at. That's where I'll set the traps and get them. But I've last year I took out a baby one, and this year I took out another baby one. So hopefully I'm getting the next generations and slowing it down. But I average about 20 a year. I think I'm at 16 so far this year.
They're as bad as mice.
I'm sure I got those too. I've taken three of those out of my house so far on glue traps. And every single time it's when I go in the crawl space. A couple weeks later I'll get to catch them out.
Oh, I used the snap traps. And I had quite a few. I mean, they used to trade in my pinch. They were living in a binder I had underneath a shelf. They chewed through a box of, like a 12-pack of Verners. So, yeah. And a little hole that they show on Tom and Jerry, yep, that's what they chew. A little arch.
Yeah, I think they've been staying pretty well hidden. I'm not really... My daughter said she saw one in her room one time, and I tend to believe her because I, like, you know, that was right after I had caught two mice in a glue trap, and I asked her, you know, what did it look like, and she described it to me pretty well, and I don't think she'd ever seen one before, so, and it was just like what I had caught already, so, yeah, it, but I never caught that one, I've had good luck with glue traps. The snap traps, they don't seem to care for, so, but, we went to our cottage up in the UP, and I set two glue traps, and my dad was up there the next week, and he's like, where'd you get those glue traps? We caught two mice with them. They haven't caught anything with their traps.
Well, I was using this little bottle of bait, and I think I got it from Beach or something like that. It's just like little liquid bait, comes out like a little grain of rice. And I put that on there, and that's how I started catching them. They were going crazy over it. I don't know how many I caught. I had a 10-pack of traps, so that gives you an idea where I started.
I bought the bottle of that when I first moved in, I never cared for it. My brother said he likes the glue traps. Bought a few of those, and those are the only thing I caught anything on. We went up into the UP, and first day there was a opening up the place for the year, and there's a dead mouse sitting on the kitchen carpet and the rug, and sitting there rotting away. It had, when I picked it up and brought it outside, it had maggots falling out of it. It was not a welcome to the cottage.
Yeah, once they got to the bird feeder in the, outside the living room window, they kind of disappeared. I have another feeder, but it's in the back of the yard on a tree, so, and there's a lot of bird activity there and squirrels, so they tend to stay away now. And I got red squirrels in my wooden shed. That's no big deal. They're up to stay out of my all the stuff down, all the, we call it fertilizer. I mean, they tend to keep their own up in the corner there. It doesn't bother me any.
Yeah, the previous homeowner had there's two bird feeders that are right off the deck. And, the one broke this spring. But yeah, I thought about putting seed in them, but then it's just gonna attract all the mice, and I don't need any more than I already got. So I haven't bothered with that. Probably should just take them out, but it's got more important fish to fry.
Yeah, I got one of those camera bird feeders. I've got it for like $30. And, you know, it just sits out there. And we got a resident squirrel that comes down there and serves himself, which is a big deal. We don't mind the squirrels. He and doves, and of course a ton of birds. And because it's, like I said, on the back side of the property, you know, there's no place because of all the animals that are around that area. And then my neighbor has a suet cake feeder, and they've been pretty successful with keeping the mice out of their house, too.
And my ex-mother-in-law used to feed all the birds and squirrels and all the animals. And my ex-father-in-law hated it. And yeah, one time I like relocated a squirrel and she was not happy. She was in the doghouse for a while on that one.
Yeah, the squirrel jumps up peas or sunflower seeds and finches and sparrows and grackles eat all the other seeds. So the only thing you can drop below the feeder is, you know, open shell and stuff. The other one was like the swamp, and it just filled out the seed. And when the bird jumped on the feeder, it dropped seed to it, and dropped mice. Got rid of that one and got this new one.
Yeah, it could be natural birds. Every once in a while, I'll see a blue jay and a cardinal. Or they're digging for their worms or whatever, but you know, get quite a few turkeys sometimes. This weekend I looked out over the backyard and there was a bunch of mamas and a bunch of babies in the backyard, turkeys. Still always little heads poking up from the on top of my septic field. Like, oh, turkeys are here.
Well, I think that's kind of neat. You know, see the turkeys. I don't have that. We have been once in a blue moon, I'll walk down the street, you know, because there's a field the next block over. And there's a flock of turkeys back there. You'll see deer. And we'll see deer walk down the street just out of the blue kind of thing. Right now, we have a groundhog that lives between mine underneath my middle shed and my neighbor's garage or back shed. So we found a few houses to keep that area blocked off so my dog doesn't get back there and he's a hunting dog, so he'll grab it. That'll be the end of the groundhog. Thank you.
That groundhog that pops up every once in a while, and he decided to chew through the coax in my internet a couple months ago. So that was fun. But I get deer occasionally. I am about to go underground, so I will say 7 days.
Sounds good. I'm probably get to the end of my rope here. 69. Enjoy, it's gonna be a nice one. 73 ABY from KTGL.
Sir. good morning, real quick. I did get your email last night. I did read over it. A lot more detail that I want to get involved with, but you just tell me what I have to do to help with that and what I shouldn't do at the meeting, and then we'll go from there, because I do want to make that, I don't want to minimize everybody's efforts there, and I didn't realize there was that much involved.
Yeah, that was interesting, because I was getting the scoring scheme originally from ARRL, but that must be the national. This is the state, and this is what we're about. So, yeah, we'll discuss it on Monday. I'm sure Mike and you will be doing the same thing pretty much. Dave did mention he may consider joining up with St. Clair County on the planning stages, which is good because it helps our score out with that. But, yep, we'll figure it out on Monday, and at least we have the key, and it's doable now. Otherwise, at the end of spring, it was just a big mystery. How did those counties get so high, and we didn't, and now we know.
Okay, very good. All right, dude, I got to run. I do have to get to work today. I'll talk to you a little bit later. WNPD.
NHWRO.
WDAKLL.
Yeah,
Yeah, the ironic thing is the guy that has my mother's extra call, his name is Greg as well. I found that kind of striking, but his name is Greg, and I looked him up. He's down in Ohio, and he's very quiet. He's an extra, and he doesn't even get on the radio, so, but we've connected.
And if and when that call ever gets freed up, you know, you kind of hope it's not a silent key, whatever, once it gets freed up. You'll have first dibs, so that's cool. You know, you'll be able to petition the FCC to be able to get that, which is pretty awesome. So, well, I'm just about to my destination. Like I said, my name's Tim. Nice to meet you, Greg. Hope to hear you around. I like I said, the what was to me a technician-style call sign that started with a W just caught my ear. So it's nice that you have a story behind it. Hope you're having a good day, and I'll let you go. 7-3, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right there, Tim. Nice meeting you, and I hope you have a good day as well. WD8KLL, I'll be clear.
Be clear, because I was an idiot, didn't clear with my call sign. ADHJL.
Yeah, if you're on hang on, you're gonna have to be mobile because or the band because I cannot hear you.
Okay, during this dropping out too. The repeater sounds real horrible here. It's dropping in and out.
Oh, you're good that time. I'm not exactly in the spot for the machine I'm using right now either.
Copy, copy. How's your day so far?
Lots of driving.
Oh, boy. Pretty soon it'll be fall time and you see all the beautiful colors.
Actually, some of the leaves here are already turning yellow and red, so I'm already starting to get a little bit of that already. I guess I'll just flake up and then head to Marquette.
Yeah, 10-4, I saw. Server, I saw one already.
I'm glad it's good weather for the drive today. It's not the warmest, but it's this'll do. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it almost sounds like there's another repeater nearby, it sounds like on here. Because I can hear like there's something else on here.
They're switching to digital.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll talk to you later, Drake. See
you later, Drake. DMH Mobile.
W8VIG. Yeah, you chopped off your audio. Just speak in, please. Am I making it into the repeater? Over.
Yeah, you're loud and clear.
Yeah, okay, thank you. What's the name and the call? Over. Not sure if I'm getting in. Let me ask you the same question. What is your name and call, please? Over.
Apparently it's a secret.
Yeah, who is that that just answered that, or just said that, please identify?
Yeah, this is Jim, W-I-8-W. I guess the guy doesn't have a call letter, call sign or something. He just gives radio checks.
Yeah, okay, well, I don't know, you know, to me that's, I don't know, it's not very polite. If somebody asks a question, I'm usually obliged, but I'm not surprised anymore with some of the people on amateur radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, you get all types out here. I'm not surprised either. They could get on GMRS, something like that. Get on there if they want. Buy your license. I think it's $50-$60 or something like that. And you can talk all over the place on there. So, whereabouts are you located? I'm on 8 Mile. I'm just mobile right now. I think I'm 8 Mile in Wyoming right now.
10-4. Yeah, very good, Jim. Nice to meet you. And I'm located not too far from the repeater. I'm getting into the 442.500 over.
Oh, okay. You're on the 500. Very good. So what's the call? I didn't catch a call at all. What was your call letter?
Whiskey 8 Victor India Juliet.
Oh, VIJ, okay. Yeah, I've heard you out there before.
Yeah, occasionally get into this repeater, see if anyone's on here, and talk to Sean, and probably talk to you before, but it's probably been a long time.
Yeah, I remember hearing other repeaters. I remember that call. So... Yep, I thought maybe you were a new guy, but no, you're not. You've been out here for a while.
I got my license in 1997.
Yep, that's been a while. I got mine in 83.
Yeah, well, you got me beat there, Jim. But I've been enjoying the hobby and hopefully continue to do so. Over.
Yep, it's a good hobby. It's a lot of different things you can get into. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. You can join a club if you want to socialize a little bit, and if you don't, you can do digital. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just make all kinds of contacts and press buttons.
Yeah, that's what the hobby's all about. Personally, I like to engage in conversations. I like to rag chew, and I have worked digital. I still do occasionally. BPSK, Olivia Contestia, but at least I'm behind a keyboard. I got to do some work, over.
Yep. I know people that'll just get that FT8 going and just walk away and go have some breakfast, lunch, or dinner and come back, and they made all kinds of contacts.
Yeah, I used to think that a lot of the older hams who have done it all are the ones that gravitate over to it, but there's a lot of new hams that do it too, but I don't find any excitement in it. I understand it. I see how it works, but again, it's too mechanical. But maybe other people enjoy it. I don't know how they do. You can make all kinds of contacts because it works very, very good below the noise floor. But I don't know. I like to have to put some effort behind what I do over.
Yep. I haven't even tried it yet. I know a lot of people that are big into FTA. I just don't enjoy that. You know, same with satellite. I don't like working satellites at all, and a lot of people do. But, you know, there's something in the hobby for everybody, so you get into whatever part of the hobby you enjoy, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is, all in a nutshell, for sure. And get radioactive. You know, keep the frequencies used up and go from there. But I never got into the digital aspect because I didn't have a radio at the time that would do continuous duty, and once I got exposed to it, I enjoyed it. But I've seen a lot of that fall off. You know, a lot of people would get on, and occasionally I'll get on, and I'm somebody's first contact, even on HF, and sometimes here, even on VHF, UHF. Over.
Yeah, I remember three times I talked to somebody for the first time. Their first time. That's pretty good. I kind of help out with the testing. Get a lot of new hams into the hobby, and it's always exciting to see a new ham get in there and shake their hand and congratulations and, you know, something that they've been wanting to do for a while. Young and old ham. Young and new. Or young and old, actually. It's guys, you know, they get it all at one time, you know. General and extra all at once. I don't know how they do that, but they're able to memorize everything or just understand it all, and it's pretty good. It's something I couldn't do. I had to do one at a time.
Yeah, I understood. That's what I did. I said, what's the hurry? And some of that was quite a bit of material to digest. Yeah, some of it was good, part of memorization, and I think, you know, if you can do that, you're going to pass it, but I think overall, I think people have some sort of interest, electronics interest, or maybe they're employed in some part of the industry, or just want to do it for a hobby. And they pass the test, which is good. We gotta keep it going. Well, listen, Jim, I'm gonna get going. I gotta go in and get ready to feed a cat here. Appreciate you coming back to me, taking the time to chat, and I look forward to the next time. WADIJ 73. I'll listen out.
Alright, but I missed a repeater crop.
Okay, nice talking to you, and probably talk to you again sometime.
I always like scan and scan quite a bit and hear somebody talking, and I'll jump in there.
Alright, 7-3.
Talk to you later.
W8FU.
WSIU 709 monitoring.
WAPD mobile.
Construction, usually it's fine. They're laying blacktop down on the other side, so maybe it won't be too much longer.
$120 for a coin cell?
lithium ion rechargeable, and that's with a 270% markup.
Yeah, they're making their money there.
Well, it's probably a $40 or $50 coin cell battery, but if it's our equipment, they can't touch it, so we have to replace it.
Probably even 40 or 50 is about as much. Well, you can get those LiPo packs for dirt cheap when they're small like that. I pay $50 for the ones for the RC cars.
I couldn't find the battery anywhere at a battery store. I don't know where the guy that put the other one in got it from. He said he went to Battery Plus or something like that, or Battery Warehouse. They had one, but we went to a couple and was like, nope, they don't have it. Couldn't find it anywhere. So I had to special order it.
Yeah, there's when you're looking for a specific part number, but I know I've gotten little battery packs for projects and stuff like that. They're pretty inexpensive. I think they're maybe $10-$15 for a little tiny lithium ion pack, but or lithium polymer. But I'm not tied to anything particular there. Just something like more looking for the dimensions, you know.
Yeah, this is like a thick coin cell battery. It's a PD3048-3048. And it's like, where do you get this from? You know, and what happened, you know, so I tested it, it was 3.6 volts. I pulled up the old battery, and that was 4.2 or 4.5. I'm like, that's not right. So I checked the charging circuit, and it was 4.8, somewhere right around there. I'm like, But my new one is there, and then that one started doing the same thing, and still gave me an error, so board shot, and I'll get a new board, and I'll have the battery in it.
Yeah, some of the charging circuit might be on the fritz there. I think fully charged LiPos are like 4.2, so if you're getting 4.8, it's probably overcharging it.
100%. You know, and it's a trickle charge, so it monitors the battery voltage. It doesn't charge it unless it needs it, because the regular SLA batteries that are in there, which are 12 volt 7-amp, in series for 24, I put my meter on that, and if the batteries are bad, the charger shuts off. And when you put the batteries, brand new batteries in, it goes up to 27 for a bit, and then it drops down and checks it. And it's, you know, then it'll charge a little bit more, and then check it, and then when it's at 24 volts, you know, it just stays that way. But this lithium ion charger, I mean, it's constantly putting out just under 5 volts, so like, that's way too much.
Yeah, sounds like it. I've gotten little charging boards from Adafruit that they're like the size of a postage stamp. You just gotta plug a battery in and give it voltage, and it'll charge the battery and shut it off when it's charged. They work pretty good. They're really tiny, so you can shove them just about anywhere.
Well, with some of my older boards, you know, of that manufacturer, they have lithium ion rechargeable memory batteries. And I think they're 3.7 volts, so I can just take that one, take it out, and then if it's not destroyed, I can solder a black and red bead on it and then use it on other panels. You know, just twist it, you know, put a little wire nut or something on it, and then it goes to the board.
Yeah, make it work.
we eat the cost of the battery because they have battery maintenance. It's a government account, so they pay basically nothing.
Going from Ann Arbor to my house is
45 on an hour and 45 minutes. I know from the airport to my house is an hour and 11 minutes.
Yeah, that's easy time there.
That's why I don't have any issues going to Grand Rapids, because we're Saginaw, BC, because it's actually closer than Ann Arbor.
Yeah, if you're north there, you just get on the 69, cut across. Yeah. Probably not too bad.
I think the longest gig I had was going from Sturgis to Muskegon. You know, getting down there, taking care of a 10-minute problem, and then finding my way up to Muskegon. Got up there and then drove home. That was a long day.
Yeah, I suppose you don't have more techs up there or whatever. They're paying you, they're paying you.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, you know, those techs are spread far and wide. We got two in Saginaw, I think one in Flint. There's one that used to be up in Mackinac, but he's medically retired. And then we got about four guys split between Lansing, Grand Rapids, and Battle Creek offices.
Yeah, so you're getting the job done. Just keep the paychecks coming.
Oh, yeah. You know, with the drive time, it's overtime, a time and a half. So I'm all for it. I don't mind it. You know, the more work I get done, you know, the better it is. And then when I get slow in Detroit, that's when I start going on the west side.
Yeah, it's good to have that option instead of just twiddling your thumbs or you're having to take unplanned days off.
I have so many vacation, sick, and floating holidays that, just saying, hey, I'm not coming in today. I can do that one day a week for the rest of the year.
I had one job where we were, we'd be contracted to do jobs for, it was like an engineering kind of deal where we'd do drawings or whatever. You didn't have anything to work on, you get sent home and were unpaid. It was not ideal because, it wasn't time for the actual company to pay you to be there. You just sit there twiddling your thumbs, so you have to be actually working on a job.
Well, yeah, that's my daughter's boyfriend. I mean, they're quiet on work, so he'll just do something on the CNC machine to make it look like he's busy. You know, so they don't see anything or send him home. So he just finds something to do. That's what my coworker and I do, you know. We can finish here in Detroit and get done at 10 o'clock in the morning, start at 8 and get me done by 10. I was like, okay, what do we got? And that's what happened a couple weeks ago. He was on vacation. It was just me. There was no work in my area. So I drove to the office to get a part. And I was sitting there at 10 o'clock. I said, send me wherever. I said, it's early. I don't mind driving. So, filled up my tank, went to Sturgis, took care of that, filled up my tank again, drove up to Marquette, and filled up my tank again, and drove home.
Our company we worked with, they pretty much had one egg in the basket, you know, and that egg went to India, so we really struggled to stay busy and ended up pretty much the whole, everybody that worked there ended up finding different jobs after that.
Casey again, you know. Well, that's what's cool about my present boss is, you need me and my coworker alone because he knows that we will find something to do and we don't complain about starting early or working late. And we'll just search through all the service queues for the entire state and say, hey, we're going to go take this one and this one, and or we'll pick runs off of other techs and just go take care of it. And then we get it done, especially if it's something sitting there for like 2 or 3 weeks, like, wow, this one hasn't been touched in 3 weeks. So we'll grab it and go out there and take care of it.
Are you guys limited to this state, or you pick up stuff in like Ohio and Indiana and whatnot?
Before they changed the districts around, or with my my former boss, at the time he was in charge of Detroit and Toledo. So if there was nothing in Detroit, I'd go help out in, on the west side, or I've been down in areas of Toledo and Oregon, Ohio, you know, right past the border and taking care of equipment down there. So you didn't have a problem with it. I think I went to Clinton County, Ohio, to help with an installation.
Yeah, sometimes it makes sense not to follow state lines like that.
Well, when they changed the service territories again, Toledo is now managed out of Cleveland, and then Michigan is handled out of Detroit, and then the UP is split between the Saginaw Flint office and out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, some of the Wisconsin stuff is closer up there. I was going to college. It was further for me to drive than my ex-wife, where she was in Appleton, Wisconsin. It was like a 4-hour drive for her. It was a good 9-10 hours for me.
Yeah, we had one account in the Sioux, and the tech would drive up on a Sunday, take care of it on a Monday, and drive back on Tuesday. You know, because it was like right there up in the Sioux, so that was his service call for the day. But since Kmart went by way of the everything else, I don't have to worry about that area as much anymore.
Yeah, I haven't spent that much time in the Sioux. Driven through it a couple times. We were across the river a couple years ago and went skiing, but usually go further west and Munising, Marquette, or Houghton.
Well, my coworker and I said we had nothing on a Friday. I had like one run, you know, down in my district, and it was like an inspection or whatever, so I had that moved. And he and I drove up to Petoskey, to the hospital up there that we've been taking care of for the past 2 years. And they're like, oh, no, you're at the wrong site. You have to be at the north site. It's like, where's the north one? He goes, Sheboygan. And then we drove to Sheboygan, did 15 minutes worth of work, and then we drove back to the, then we drove up to the UP, over to the Apache place that he goes to, ate lunch in the UP, drove down to Mackinac City, I got me some fudge, and then we drove home, and it was a day. I mean, we were literally done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we were up there, they were up there like 3 times for the Mac City stuff, and they never got any fudge. They'd get there, work all day, and drive home. But, yeah, it was up there 3 weekends in a row, and finally the 3rd weekend I stopped on the way home and got 4 blocks of fudge.
Yeah, that's what we did. We went to Mackinac City for lunch. No, we went to Othello's for pasty lunch, and then we went into Mackinac City because I've never been there, and walked around downtown Mackinac City. I'm like, ooh, look, fudge shop from Mackinac Island Fudge. And I bought like 5 bricks for like $30.
pretty much, all the shops that are up the island have a shop at the city. People don't need to go to the island. It's a good time. I was up in the UP in July, bought a dozen pasties frozen. They're in my freezer now, so got a nice supply of pasties.
No, the one I had was fresh out of the oven, literally. I pulled it out and put it on my plate, and then I got a side of gravy with it, and something to drink. I can't forget if I had potatoes or something. Oh no, I had a big bowl of coleslaw with it. Oh, I was in heaven.
Yeah, I prefer ketchup with my pasties, but yep, that's good to get them fresh, but we're gonna stock up when we're up there and bring them home. There's a place in Grand Blanc that sells pasties, but they're not the same. They'll suffice if you got a craving, but much better to get the real deal.
You know, this place was, it had a real flaky crust, and it had onions and rutabaga, beef, and anything else. So there was more stuff in it than the actual flaky crust being folded, baked, and I just got a thing of gravy with it. It was just wonderful. And my coworker, he's like, "What are you putting on my gravy?" He goes, "Nah, ketchup." I'm like, "I like gravy. I don't get it all that often."
Going about all my life, getting
past. Yeah, we'll pick another day to go up there. Me and my wife and my daughter will go up there. Have someone watch the dogs. You know, that'll be fine. The only reason why we don't go out, alone, spend the day out, we'll spend the day close by, but I won't go anything up that far because, one, I don't trust my truck to make it that far. Two, there's nobody really to let the dogs out and feed them and everything else like that.
Hey, you gotta bring the dogs with you. Family's got a cottage up there, so you get a good place to stay. My grandma's still up there. She moved up there when my grandpa went to nursing home, and he passed away years ago, but she's still up there where she grew up, and kind of where she's going to finish her off, too.
I'm just fine making it a day trip. I want to take the dogs. They're too high energy, and one is 11 years old, so that's a long ride for her.
Yeah, depends on the dog. Sometimes they get anxiety. Other times they just sleep the whole time. Our last dog, she just sit and stare at the window for a while, and I realize it's not okay, it's gonna be a long trip, and just curl up and sleep the whole way.
Yeah, that'd be my off-the-healer. I mean, she's kind of laid back. Like I said, she's 11 years old, so she'll just lay down and relax. But the other two, one's 5, the other one's 3, and they're both high energy. So my daughter was driving. She'd be sitting there on the center console, trying to get in the front seat and everything else like that. So it would be an adventure.
Her down like 3 years ago, we're still finding dog hair from her. She's a beagle boxer, and beagle fur just sticks in all the fabrics, and still fine hair.
Yep, so do we. That's been 8 years. find a, what we call a daisy. Oh, look, a daisy here. Because she was a very furry border collie mix. So she was big, too. She was like 50 pounds. She was bigger than a regular border collie. And so she had other collie in her. And she was just furry.
One of the beagle traits is the short hair, and they're always shedding, so it's not even a seasonal thing. The little needles, so it just sticks into the fabric, and even if you vacuum it, it's still like woven into the fabric, and you can't get it out.
Oh, that's like our lab pet. She sheds too. She's a short hair, but it's wiry, you know. Because a lab is, you know, a lab is soft, but a pit bull is a little bit more coarser fur. And hers is coarse, and it's almost like a porcupine, it feels like porcupine quill sometimes. So you'd be patting her, and like this roughness on her back. And yeah, they just got a bath over the weekend, and dried her off, and it was even more hair. Like that dog sheds just from sneezing.
Yeah, she was an interesting dog. She had, like, joints of a beagle, so, you know, they run like crazy to get the rabbits, but she had the long legs like a boxer, and she would, she'd be the, we take it to dog park, and she'd be the fastest one there pretty much every, all the time.
E-A-W-O-J.
How's it going, Rick? We got Lance on here, ABAY. And then, of course, you know me, KCKKO. There, we got all our IDs in. There we go. Go ahead, Rick.
I apologize. I was just on the porch listening, and you got me all excited with the pasties there. I just wondered, in case you didn't know, there's a pasty place on Sachibar Road before you get to I-75 there called Uncle Mike's. They make some pretty good pasties. I used to go there every so often and get a dozen or so and bring them home. I just thought I'd let you know that just in case you got a hankering for them and you don't want to drive all the way up north. Lance, go ahead.
I haven't heard of that place. I've heard of Barb's and Royal Oak. They've got a pretty good one. But I haven't actually been there. I've had them. My grandparents got them, but I have to think of that when I run out of my stash in my freezer.
I think Vincent Joel's imports theirs from the UP, and they're in Shelby at 25 in Van Dyke. I'm going to have to check it out. My son got a pasty from somewhere. It was in the freezer for, like, ever. He never ate it. I ended up having to throw it out, but I gotta see if we can, you know, if there's something close by. That's relatively close to the UP pasties. KCKO, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I kind of missed the one that used to be on 59 there, Hall Road, east of where it's now the mall over there, kind of thing. But there was a house there, and they had a addition put on, and they were making some fantastic pasties over there, but I imagine that's long gone by now. KEAWOJ, Lance, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a place in Grand Blanc I tried, and they were okay, and I actually got one from Meyer once. They hit them in the freezer.
I never thought of Meyer's, but those are the figure that they I like more on the A side. I think Othello's is the place I think we went to, A-T-H-E-L-O-S, something like that. But it's gotta have the onions and the beef and the rutabaga in there and the potatoes. And it's a light crust, not that doughy, you know, crap that some of them come in. I like the flaky, doughy crust.
Yeah, I like pasties so much, we started making our own since we couldn't find any really good ones. we use that Pillsbury pie crust. course, you got to buy a lot of that if you're going to make a lot. We make some kind of small ones there, because the UP ones are quite a belly full for me anyway. But they're really good. And you were talking about gravy, and Lance, I think you said you like ketchup on yours. I've been trying them lately with biscuit gravy, you know, the sausage gravy. So I get some of that, and I pour that over to pasty. That's pretty good, too. Lance, go ahead.
I haven't ventured into making them yet. I've gotten a recipe before, but I haven't made that venture yet. But, the other good one is if you get a jalapeno ketchup, that gives a little spice to it, too. That's pretty good there. There used to be a pasty sauce or something like that. It was basically just jalapeno ketchup. They quit making that, but that was always good.
Oh, I remember the jalapeno ketchup. It had a bite to it. Yeah, that's some spicy stuff. It was good, though. I like my Frank's Red Hot. But I think I like the gravy because I love poutine. I don't know if you guys have ever tried it.
Yeah, that's a new one on me. I haven't really tried that, and I never have been a real spice guy. It seems to always bite me in the butt, literally. Lance, go ahead, KEAWOJ.
Yeah, I've had lots of poutine. I used to go over to Brampton a lot for work. I would get a poutine occasionally there. Yeah, that's good stuff, too.
You gotta try poutine. You gotta find the right place with it, though. It's basically it's French fries smothered in gravy with cheese curds. No, you get the right one, man. It's to die for. And, you know, pasty is the one I had in the UP. My coworker, who's on a diet and stuff, he barely got to his, or I wolfed my down along with the coleslaw and a large drink, and I tossed the place. I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
Yeah, and then I had to drive all the way home. Lance, you said Brampton. Brampton, Ontario? I spent 2 summers there installing some door lines, robotic door lines there. I kind of really like the area over there. I didn't mind spending the summer over there at all. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, probably at the same place. But, yeah, we launched a few cars out there. I'm going to go out there much every week for a while. And, drive home Friday and be back on Monday. Quite a bit of time out there, but yeah, I liked it out there. It's like a whole other country over there. But heard from Indians, they're the best Indians through there.
I think the last time I went to Ontario was when my best friend came up from down south. What was that, 10 years ago? Oh, geez, 20 years ago, 2005. Whew, it's been a long time. Well, we went over there and spent the day at Niagara Falls. Used to frequent that place when I went and saw my grandparents all the time. Why? Because I'm half Canadian.
Oh, well, we won't hold that against you. I think it's a plus, actually. I love it over there. I used to like to spend every chance I could get over there. And they also have one of those, we went to visit one day, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's sort of like our Greenfield Village. We went over there, a family next door drove over there, and we spent a day there, so it was kind of interesting. I like spending time there. I could spend a whole lot more of it. KEAWOJ, Lance.
Yeah, it's not too bad over there. Definitely more expensive, but...
nice over there. But I am home, so I will say 7-3 is the game you win.
Well, 73 to you, sir. You'll probably hear me out in the morning as usual. You know me. KCKKL. Go ahead, Rick.
Seven threes, Lance. Nice talking with you. I hope we can do it again. Take care. Be careful. KKWOJ. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, I'm trying real hard to think of a historic village that's over there. I'm in with the Fort George. You know, of course, that's on the Canadian side. When I was a kid, I accidentally spent the day at Niagara Falls. When I was a little tyke, we used to go to Storybrooke Park, which was in London, Ontario, I think, somewhere right around there. God, that's bringing back memories.
Yeah, I think this was a little past one. I think it was somewhere between London and Toronto there. What was it called? The Ontario Agricultural Museum or something like that. Which makes it sound like it was just a museum there, but it's a whole great big area of farms, and they got a little village that's just like Greenfield Village, you know, from the 1800s. And it was quite interesting. It was a nice place to spend the day.
Well, before all the enhanced driver's license and, you know, the whatever they call it, the witty card or wicked card or whatever it is, you know, where you need that to get across the border. When my kids were little and they lived in Sterling Heights, over the summer we didn't have any animals except for birds, and they always had a lot of food and water. And then we had the neighborhood, you know, the next door neighbor kids used to come and feed them anyways. But we just pack up an overnight bag for the family, and we go hit up my grandfather's in Toronto and spend the weekend there.
Oh, that's a nice nice thing, especially if you got family there. It's a really nice area. I was kind of surprised. We were working so much, we didn't get a whole lot of chances to visit around, kind of thing. But they were having the what was it called? The Canadian or no? Some kind of fair, gigantic fair over there in Toronto they have every year, and. What was her name? Reba McEntire was having a concert there, and one of the guys we worked with was just in love with her, so we all decided to take up early and go to this concert, and it was quite interesting down there. I enjoyed it a lot. From my understanding, they got a mall that's completely underground over there. It's, I think I could spend quite a few weeks in that town looking around, and I never found a... Not once did I ever find a piece of litter anywhere. It was kind of cool. Tom, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it was always clean, even in my grandfather's street. He lived in Willowdale or North York, which is a suburb of Toronto. But he was, like, right down the main drag. So we went up Yonge Street. We went right into downtown Toronto. He used to go to the zoo all the time, went to the Ontario Science Center. I always spent the majority of my days there when I stayed over, you know, I stayed there over the summer. You know, it was a lot of fun. You know, but now, you know, they're all, you know, my cousins and my aunts and my uncle, they're all spread all over. My uncle is the only one that's close. He lives in London.
Well, that's not so far, and I was always amazed by the, it seems like everywhere we went, Toronto, Brampton, Mississauga, around in there, almost every street corner or intersection, there was somebody with a brat cart or whatever kind of thing, selling brats, and man, every one of them, it seemed like they were just fantastic.
Oh, yeah, they take a lot of pride in what they do. Over there, I really do. You know, my uncle was a DJ for a long time, and then he was a professor at one of the schools there in regards to radio and broadcasting and stuff. And the real estate agent, and he jogged, you can see. He likes to do that. He likes to do marathons here and there. But yeah, it's always clean when you go there. Even the zoo is clean. I mean, you couldn't find a speck of litter anywhere.
Yep, it's an awesome place. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the sun seems brighter over there. The sky bluer. It's just, it's a nice place. I like it. When I was working them 2 summers there, we had a competing crew working in another part of the plant there, kind of thing. And I got to know the 2 guys that owned the place. They were hard workers too, and they ended up offering me a partnership. They wanted me to come in partners with them. And they said, we work like crazy spring, summer, and fall, and then we spend about 4 months on vacation. And we make plenty of money through the months that we work, and we go all over the place. And boy, I was so tempted, but I don't know. It seemed a little risky to me. Tom, go ahead.
Just give me a little bit of a pause there, see if anybody else wanted to jump in. Yeah, I mean, I only went there, you know, for Easter. You know, like I said, it was my grandparents. And then every time we went up there, even when I took the wife and the kids there and we stayed at my grandfather's house over the weekend, work traveled fast, and whatever cousins and relatives that were close by, they were there. And so it goes from, you know, my 4 and then my grandfather, ended up being like 20 of us there, you know, between aunts, uncles, cousins, and everything else, and having a grand old time.
Oh, I like that a lot. I kind of miss that. That used to happen on Christmas and Thanksgiving with both sides of the family there, my mom's side and my dad's side. Everybody'd show up in one place at one time there. And we always had a ball, but that kind of quit a long time ago. A lot of people have left this world, and things are growing apart, and that never happens anymore.
No, all it is, myself, my wife, and my daughter, my son's right now is trying to figure out his life being a step up dad, and he's got his own place and lives an hour away. So he's in that trying to find himself stage. So our relationship's kind of strained right now. And then my mother-in-law, she's 18 years old, and she doesn't get around too good. And then my wife's brothers, you know, one works with me, so I see him at least once a week when I go in the office. But it's not like it used to be. There's nobody really left. You know, all my wife's cousins are a bunch of idiots, and then except for maybe a few that she gets along with, and then mine are all spread throughout Canada. So that's about it. I got my younger brother here, and I got my older sister. So we just got together yesterday for Labor Day, and that's about as much as I see them, because everybody works. You know, so everybody only has like a Sunday to get together and, you know, enjoy company.
Well, that's great. You get at least an opportunity to do that once in a while. That's kind of nice to keep the connections going. And I can kind of, I know what your son's kind of feeling. I'm 72, and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Tom, go ahead.
Well, I mean, my son and I have always been close, but since he met this girl, and he moved out last year, and I helped him out a little bit financially, and then they kind of ran up their bills, and now they're tight, and she's a wishy, you know, sometimes she can be wishy-washy, but that's what he wants, and so there's a little bit a strain between me and him, because the way it sounds like is he wants me every time he does a good deed or whatever, you know, he wants me to put like a star on the, you know, on the calendar saying, you know, you did a good job today kind of thing. Like, I don't recognize him enough or acknowledge him or help him out. But he doesn't feel that it's enough, so we're a little bit strained on that aspect. because it's a new relationship, I think he just needs to find himself. So I give him the space that he needs, and if he feels compelled to call me or come over, then he can. You know, the door's always open, but I'm not going to beg and plead for it.
Oh, roger that. Yep, yep. My dad's long gone, and we just weren't that, well, I guess we were close when I was young, and as I got older and older kind of thing, we started growing further and further apart kind of thing, and then he kind of got into the bottle there after, it wasn't quite retirement yet, but anyway, he got heavy into the bottle kind of thing, and then things went much further south after that, so, and couldn't really kind of help him. Nobody kind of could, and, well, it is what it is kind of thing, but at least you guys still got something going. That's a good thing. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, he came over Sunday with his girlfriend, and he came to visit. But he told me flat out, he says, I'm just going over long enough to get some stuff out of the camper and out of the storage shed and see my dog, and then we got to go kind of thing. I was like, all right, you know, whatever. And that's basically what he did. He got stuff, you know, he got some doors out of our neighbor's attic that I put up there because they're vintage doors. And he got some other stuff, loaded up his truck, he said our buys, and then he went back to Burton where he lived. And, you know, that's him. And we haven't seen him since. And his birthday is this Friday, so I'll probably just text him and tell him happy birthday. And I said, he's kind of distant right now. I mean, I can understand some portions of it. You know, like I said, he's got a new house. He's trying to get his life on track with that. He's going to be 33. You know, trying his hardest. So we just grew apart a little bit. I'm sure he'll turn around. That's what everybody says. Is give him some time, and he'll come around. And the girlfriend, future wife, will come around. You know, we go up and we go down, kind of thing. My daughter, I mean, she's home maybe 3 days out of the week. You know, because she's got her boyfriend that lives 10 minutes away. She works 6 days a week. You know, but when she does come home, she said she hangs with us and watches a couple shows, or she'll go and she's an avid reader, so she'll go up and read one of her books, and then you know, she'll go to bed, but still, he's here in the morning, we chit chat, so that's all that goes. Okay, if he changes, I'm not asking for anything more kind of thing. I'm not going to push him.
Yeah, roger that, and I have no idea what to say. I'm 72. I've never been married and no kids, so I have no idea what you're going through or how to deal with it kind of thing. The nearest thing I had to kids were pets, you know, and I considered them kids. Kind of loved them the same, but it is a whole different thing. It's a different kind of life, I suppose, but every time I hear about trouble between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and all that, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I could have dealt with that. Tom, go ahead.
Well, yeah, like I said, I've always been close with my kids. You know, they could talk to me about anything. But then he met this girl early last year, and at first he was afraid to introduce her to us, and she was kind of skittish. She doesn't like dogs. You know, she's never really been around dogs. And my dogs are very active and very high energy. But he met this girl, and they moved in together last July, and then they moved out of that apartment because of all the problems. We bought a house. And, you know, he called me up, hey, can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? And, you know, so, and then he talked to his sister, hey, can I borrow some money? And yeah, he makes more than my daughter and I combined. And, but yet, racked up a lot of credit because his girlfriend wanted all new stuff. She didn't want to do anything. She didn't want to buy anything, you know, resale shops or stuff like that. So it put him in a bind. That they shouldn't have done that. But they can't make money. As soon as she put a little bit of a damper on the, on my son and I's relationship, actually just with the family. And so I think he's a little bit lost right now. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm not going to push him. I'm not going to push him, you know, like you on a molten wool. You know, suck it up, buttercup, this is life kind of thing. And I don't think he likes hearing that.
Oh, yeah, Roger. And, you know, it seems like, at least to me anyway, that sooner or later, no matter how far off the path you go, I think everybody kind of realizes sooner or later family's really what matters kind of thing, and they end up working their way back on the path again sooner or later. So maybe it's a good thing that you got to letting him do his thing and not pushing it any. That's just my two cents, you know, but like I said, I don't have any experience at it. Tom, go ahead.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I've been on my own since I was 18, you know. I got in an argument with my parents when I lived out in California because I got an offer to come back here and help my oldest sister with a business. And it put a strain on the relationship with me and my father.
Different ideas on almost everything, and we kind of got into it one night, and I just said, well, see you later, I'm on my way. He said, well, good luck. Out the door I went, so that was that. And but, you know, because of that, I think there's we both got a little more respect for each other as a little bit of time went on kind of thing, and it is what it is. He'll come around sooner or later. I don't know. I've been in quite a few relationships myself, you know, and the other person can walk away just any time, even when you think things are good. And then, again, you're left with family, which is the foundation. So, anyway, my two cents. Tom, go ahead. KEWOJ.
I'm just stepping back out of the light, and, you know, he's got to find his way. And if it's a life that he wants to lead, you know, without, you know, his younger sister or me or my wife involved, then so be it. But that's a decision that he's got to make. You know, like I said, I'm not going to jump over barrels or, you know, run through fire to please him, I guess you can say, for what he's looking for, which I have no clue on earth what it is. So my wife, just back off and just leave him be. If he wants to visit and stuff like that, you know, door's always open and he has keys to the back door. So if he wants to come and visit, have at it. But if he doesn't, oh well, you know, sorry to see him go, but I'm not going to grovel. I'm not a groveling person.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean, and, you know, plus, you know, you're a pretty busy fella. I don't know you that awful well, but anytime I hear you that you're working, and you seem to be working all the time, so I am kind of curious, though, do you have any kind of hobbies? It just don't seem like you got time for much of anything.
Well, this is Lanzani. I have my amateur radio. I belong to ARPSC, you know, Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And I'm also the chairperson for the Planning Commission for my little town of Memphis. You know, and I announce horse shows when they call me in. So I do have some things that I do, you know, in my spare time. And I fix computers or work on radios, you know. I'm always busy doing something, or I just be a lazy deer here and sit and watch a movie with my wife on a weekend. I said we're kind of like empty nesters. My daughter, she still lives with me, but she's only home every so often. So, got the dogs and the cats, and I just sit back and watch TV or work on my computer.
Well, you are one busy fella, I'll say that for sure. It don't seem like you have a whole lot of time for movies there, but I did forget about all the volunteer stuff you could do, the ARPSC and Planning Commission, too. Jeez, oh, Pete. Well, kudos, bud. I got nothing but time over here, and I don't seem to use that very good. Kind of jealous a little bit. I wish I was a little bit healthier so I could get out and do more stuff. But anyway, back to you, Tom.
Well, sometimes I don't have time. I mean, but like I say, I got a neighborhood kid who's been bringing me over laptops, and I try to fix them for him, and in return, he came over and he cut down some trees in my backyard so we have more sunshine. Of course, you know, two of them were trees that really needed to be cut down. The other two, one was annoying, so we cut that one down, and then a maple tree that was just in the way it came, so just kind of, you know, doing stuff around the house, you know, and so he brings me these laptops. I'm like, okay, I'll see what I can do with them. I fixed them up. I fixed a couple of them up for him, and I'm like, I said, I'm on the radio or just reading, you know, later I've been getting a little bit back into online reading. Nothing major, just goofy stuff here and there, just watching videos and stuff. You know, my wife got back into Columbo, so we've been watching that. You know, some old-time TV shows. I just make, you know, just spending time with me and my wife, because we really can't afford, you know, with finances and how much everything costs, it's kind of hard to go out and do something. And I don't want to go down to our mother's house and sit there because I can't stand her brother, so we just kind of tend to stay up at home and do stuff around home.
Well, it seems like you're out and about all the time anyway, so I would imagine you would cherish time you get to spend at home. And amen on the Columbo. It wasn't too long ago, again, I watched that whole series myself. I'm the same way. Leave it to Beaver, Columbo, what else? There's a bunch of others. Right now I'm watching the whole Red Green series. Some of the older stuff. I kind of like not having to get up and look around for something to watch all the time. Watch the series from beginning to end, and that usually takes a couple of days to go through. Maybe that's the epitome of lazy, I guess. Tom, go ahead.
I try not to be lazy, but there's just days, like I said, you know, when I work all week and, you know, drive as many miles as I've driven, you know, I just want to sit back, relax, and just kind of dumb down, I guess you could say. So, sit on the couch with the dogs and watch TV with the wife, you know, because she gets up at, you know, the butt crack of dawn, like 5:30 in the morning. She doesn't work, but I think just part of her brain injury from 5 years ago. So she gets up and she'll nap here and there during the day, and then she goes to bed about 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know, because her body's just whipped. You know, but she cleans the house, cuts the grass, and then sometimes we'll do some yard work together. Like right now, we have a pumpkin patch, and it's just huge, and we're all excited about it. We got three out of them so far. We got another 10 that are growing, so
that's excellent. And when I, yeah, when I said epitome of lazy, I meant me, not you. I, the repairing computers, I used to do that too. I messed up my back real bad, and they told me I had to get out of the shop and pipe fitting and all that kind of stuff, building tooling for the auto industry and all that. And so I decided to get into computers, and I went to I think one or two semesters of community college there, just enough to land a job managing a small computer store in Lake Orion there. And so then I started doing building and rebuilds and repairs and sales and all that kind of stuff. But actually, I was the happiest in the back room doing the tech work. It was kind of fun. But, you know, and then it branched out to people didn't really want something that happened to their machines, and they didn't really want to tear their desk apart and bring it into the office, their kind of thing. So I'd go out to their houses and fix the repeaters, computers and all that. And then I don't know, I ended up getting out of it. And, you know, I did fix a few here and there kind of thing. But nowadays it's sort of like, it's been quite a bit of time, and I haven't kept up with the operating systems and the hardware and all that. And so now I kind of struggle with them like everybody else anymore. I guess you got to expect that when you get old. K-E-A-W-O-J. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, that's what I do. I mean, I said, like, well, I tried starting a business, and the market was so flooded, I just went, you know, forget about it. I mean, I had a website, got that shut down. But, you know, I'd go out and repair computers out in the field. You know, but like I said, that's what I work on all day. I work, you know, I do computer-based badging systems, you know, and fix door locks, fix alarms, fix computers, fix cameras, you know, whatever they throw at me. I just like tech all around. And, yeah, I was doing, you know, I do it on the weekends. And then I did stuff with horse shows. I used to make, what they call advertising books for the 4-H, for the 4-H program for the group that my kids were in. And, you know, I used to scan photos and make all these books, you know, that you flip through and had all these advertisements in it. And I forgot what they call them. But I did that, and I say, you know, for 10 years I announced horse shows at Armada Fair, and it kind of went by the wayside when the person that used to hire me passed away. And now I just do it every so often. You know, so I just try to keep myself busy, you know, because my mind is always busy. If I'm not, you know, if I'm sitting there lazy and stuff, my mind still goes and drifts off somewhere else.
Yeah, I happen to, I like hunting and fishing and all the outdoor stuff, camping and all that kind of stuff, but then the health went down the drain, and I had to put an end to all that, and so I still like shooting. I make all my own ammo, reloading, all that kind of thing. Hand loading, I call it. You know, then you got to go out to the range and test, and that became one of my favorite things, is going out to the range and testing loads, because I can sit at a bench doing that. It's not real physical. But it seems like I'm having trouble even with that anymore, so. Luckily, I found radio, so I'm not just twiddling my thumbs all day, but close to it. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I love radio, too, obviously, you can tell. I mean, I've had my license since 1998. You know, I was on VHF most of the time, and then finally I made the investment. I had a couple dual banders that they just went belly up on me because they were, you know, El Cheapos. So I finally stepped back and said, you know, I'm going to treat myself. And I got myself a really nice mobile computer from Ford now. And then I was up on the medical last year for surgery. I was off for a month. And I had my DMR that I had for a couple of years but never really did anything with it. So I started learning DMR. And then I met Captain Don here on the FBI network, and Sean, and Wally, and now I'm all set up. I got a Motorola DMR mobile. I got my HD. It's all set up. I got an open spot that sits at home, so over the weekend I go on that. I'm a storm spotter, so I belong to ARPS now. And now I got another radio in my van here that's P25, so I've been playing around with that. It's not mine, you know, but still giving that a shot, you know, when I get a chance here and there, check on it. So I like programming. I like figuring it out. And that's one thing I want about P25 is get a radio and just sit down there and just figure it out. A little bit of guidance, a little bit of training, but after that, I can program it. That's what I love programming.
Well, I'm right here with you. I do too. I kind of, but I was stuck in the analog world, and I just kind of branched out. I got a, Sean recommended a clear node, so I got a clear node. I am loving that thing, and I bought back in February. I bought a Anytone 878 UV2 Plus for DMR, and I'll be honest with you. I think that thing was trying to put me in the ground. I spent a lot of months trying to do my own code plug for that thing and getting nowhere. And then I downloaded some code plugs off, I think it was the Anytone site, and couldn't get those to work. I spent a number of months trying to get that thing running. And then finally, I'm not sure what I did, but I just kept refusing to give up. So I put it away for a while, and a week later I'd come back and start hitting it again. I think I finally got it running, but I'm still not understanding the whole thing. But this this clear node, it's got a digital bridge in there. So I've been playing around with All-Star all the time, and I see I can do DMR and P25 and NXDN and all that. So next task is to get those running. It'll be kind of interesting to do DMR off an analog radio. go ahead, Tom.
Well, I have a TYT, what is it, MD-UD380. It's an older model. And it's sitting Captain Don, WHCPT. He got it all. Got the firmware upgraded where I use OpenGD77, which is way easier than stock code plugs, because I couldn't pull code plugs up and put it in there, because those were open, because it was not compatible between the TYT original stock firmware and programming compared to OpenGD77. But after I got that in there, I got everything programmed, and I keep programming it, you know, add more stuff, just find more stuff. But I got my HD, and that's programmed with the open spot that sits at the house, so I got an open spot on there where I can go to different talk groups, which I do on the weekends. And then Wally got me set up with the Motorola for MI5. I got the software, and I just got bought a license for it, an application license. But I'm waiting for Motorola to get a hold of me so I can do a software and put the license in there. And then I'll be able to program a Motorola right from my laptop in my hand on the fly.
Oh, wow, that sounds pretty cool. You know, this fooling with this Anytone and the DMR, it's the first time I was going to update the firmware on the radio there, and then I find out if you update the firmware, you got to update the CPS software, too. The CPS software is firmware dependent, so I didn't realize that. So, and I'm a little bit nervous about doing firmware updates because we don't have real stable power over here. It could go off any time for 2, 3, 4 minutes and then come back on while they play around with different kind of things. So, but now I've got a battery backup kind of thing, so I might update the Anytone. I think I'm running 3.03 for this the firmware. I'm not sure what they're up to now, but I think there's a couple of updates from what I've got. But it is fun stuff. We sure have a lot of toys to play with.
Oh, yeah, and I got a box full of probably about 30 Vertex Standard VHF HDs with all the chargers and the mics. And I've been messing with those and putting in either mirrors, VHF frequencies or
have one that I programmed a bunch of hand frequencies in it. And I might do the rest, I'm not sure yet. But I use those for like shows or whatever. I've had those for about five years now. And they're still good. So I'll get in the neutral. I just want to mess with one and I'll pull it out and experiment some more and say, okay, if I do this, what will this do? What if I do this, how does this work? And I just learned the software. I got 231s, 261s, and I forgot what another one that I got, but I got all three CPS software from Vertex Standard and just sit there and program it and play. I mean, that's what it's for. That's what I do. I love it. I got another Motorola down here, a VHF mobile, and with the software, I'm going to upload that and program that.
Yeah, like I said, I was kind of stuck in the analog world there and with this Anytone and got into the DMR. And I was on a Michigan DMR TechNet last night, and we got about, I think, three-quarters of the way through. And all of a sudden, a bunch of other talk groups started busting in and over top, and I couldn't get back to the net. And so I started looking into that. What's keeping me? How come I'm on this channel for the net and all these other talk groups are busting in over top of them kind of thing? So I had to dig into that, and it turns out I had a receive group program that was in the software kind of thing, and it was popping up all over the place, and I couldn't get back to the net, so I kind of figured that out and got rid of that, and got it working a little better today. So seems like every day I'm going to, hopefully if I can stick with it, I'll learn a little bit more, and sooner or later, I will not be a DMR infant anymore. K-E-A-W-O-J, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, I got my DMR. What's nice about the Motorola, it's called IP Connect. So I put it on Roam or IP Connect Roam. And when I do that, wherever I'm at in the state, is, you know, wherever there's a MI5 network, it links right up to it and changes the channel automatically. I don't have to do anything to it. Just key it up, and then it finds something and brings it up. That's what I was doing earlier today on the way back from Grand Rapids. There are some dead zones, but that's okay. It still works fantastic. But yeah, I'm still learning DMR, and now with the Motorola, whole different terminology, whole different way of doing things, but I was taking it apart with a test code plug, and I'm like, oh, I know what I can do. I see this here, I see that there. And that's what I'm hoping to do this week once I get a call back from Motorola.
Excellent. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. This one's got something called Digimonitor. Digimonitor. You can monitor one time slot or two time slots or both time slots. And I'm not really sure about what that's all about. I noticed if I turn the Digimonitor off, the DMR didn't work at all, kind of thing. So I got to look into that. And I have to admit, the manual for that came with the radio is just about useless. I think it's about, the only thing it's good for is toilet paper, maybe, if you run out. But I'll have to look into some YouTube videos and see what I can find there to help me along there. But I guess I'm moseying along a little bit at a time kind of thing. And I still got the clear note. I'm bouncing back and forth now between the DMR and the clear note. I'm kind of loving the both of them. So I haven't been on analog a whole lot lately.
Well, for me, I learned a lot of my radio programming through front panel. I mean, like my Alinco here. The software is almost useless, you know, because I need a cable, or I need a programming cable, which I thought I had, but I don't, so now I got to get one where I can do a little bit of modifications here and there. The only thing I see about the programming, you know, about computer programming, it's a lot faster than spinning the dial and setting it all up and saving it in memory. You just upload it, change it, download it. But, you know, I'd like to figure things out on my own. But I did read the manual for it.
use it as reference, and that's about it. I'm like, okay, I need to do this. Can I do this? Oh, yes, I can. Okay, this is how I do it. And after that, it just sticks in my mind. So I have 39 channels in my Olenco mobile that I programmed by hand.
Oh my! I used to be able to program the few radios that I have with a channel or two here and there, but I don't think I could do it anymore. I got hooked on the software and I got all the cables for them, and now I just plug them in and go kind of thing. But it turns out DMR, I don't have the Anytone. I couldn't get to work with my ZumSpot. I think I'm probably past that now. In fact, I should try that tonight and see if I got that worked out. So I was stuck with the DMR. I'm stuck with the repeaters. And it seems like the CMC in Detroit, which is, what, I think 16 miles away or something, it's about the only repeater I can use. So for the moment, that's my only way onto DMR. But I got to get the ClearNode, the digital bridge going, and all the settings in that. So hopefully before too long I'll be styling, hopefully. Tom, go ahead.
Well, yeah, the whole point of the hobby is just figuring it out. I mean, that's what makes it fun for me, is just, okay, try this, try that. It's all trial and error. As long as you don't blow the radio up or blow the final, you're good to go. You know, besides that, like I said, yeah, I use the software. I mean, I got a little bump thing, HT, and I use that. I got 130 frequencies in that. I use Chirp on that. I got the cable for it. Download it, you know, upload it, program it, change it, download it again. You know, and I do it on my laptop with a mouse, so it's a lot. I'm a lot faster. And so that's my job, is I do programming for access systems. So as my mind is moving, my hand is moving on the mouse, and that's how I go through things. I get into a rhythm and just keep going, going, going. And that's how most everything gets programmed.
Yeah, you're right about the figuring it out. You know, I get all anxious to get something set up and done and try it out kind of thing, and then you try it out and it works, and then I kind of go, what am I going to do now? So it's a good thing that I got it going, but then it's kind of a letdown, like, what's next? I think so. We'll see. Maybe it's a good thing. I mean, I'm struggling so much with the DMR, but I'm sure I'll get it sooner or later. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, trial and error, trial and error. That's exactly what it is. And, yeah, I'll get it all programmed up, and I'll play with it for a while. I'm like, you know, I can change this just a little bit more. Then I'll go back in and I'll program it again, program it again. Same thing, I have a P25 scanner, digital scanner, sitting here on the dashboard, too. And I uploaded all the sites and the control channels and stuff from Radio Reference, picked off what I wanted, created a bunch of groups, scan groups, and then I downloaded the radio. So that's done, but I'll probably pick it up and change it again for wintertime so I can hear the road crews, you know, smoke crews and everything. Never a dull moment with me programming something somewhere for something.
Yeah, don't you love it? I was thinking the same thing. I got that group, receive group thing kind of figured out last night, and then it got me to thinking, boy, I wonder if there's a better way to do zones and scan zones and all the other stuff, which... Now is a, you know, I got a whole bunch of stuff in there, so it might be a whole lot different programming kind of thing. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But it seems like a never-ending job there. It would be nice to see a code plug from an expert so you could sort of study what they did and why they did it and, you know, kind of thing. But who knows? Like you said, the trial and error. It's probably the best way, anyway. That's the way I've learned most of my life. Tom, go ahead.
Well, not
That's what I did when I started at DMR. I downloaded some code plugs and got one to work inside the factory software for my TYT, and I started picking it apart. I'm like, oh, time slot one, time slot two. Okay, that has something to do with it. Color codes. You know, color codes one and two are the primary color codes. And the time slot, more or less, like you and I are talking on, you know, if we're on DMR, we're talking on MI5 time slot one. You can actually make another one and make a time slot two, where it's almost like a private line. Say, okay, well, let's get off of time slot one, because that's where everybody's at. Go to MI, you know, talk group 51, MI5, time slot two, being used to frequency, and we won't be interfered with. It's almost like a squelch in a, or a tone squelch in a way. You know, you can, you don't hear the other party talking when you're on the, you know, when you're on the sub channel kind of thing. So I'm still learning that too. Listen, I'm not 100% proficient at DMR, but I know enough to be dangerous. Let's put it that way. KCKJO. Yeah, I kind of found that out too. Apparently, I was on that Michigan DMR net. They go on every Monday night kind of thing, and I was on one a couple weeks ago kind of thing, and I kept getting this screen popping up while I was listening to the net saying missed call. So apparently somebody was trying to call me while the net was going on, and then I think I did some reading somewhere, and they, and that's what it said. You could be on a net and on one slot and get private calls on the other slot kind of thing. But I never got any kind of alert or anything telling me that I had a call, so I don't know. Somebody told me last night that they might be like bogus alarms with the missed call, so I don't really know about that. But I got I'll have to look into that sooner or later. But it's kind of sometimes it does seem a little bit frustrating, but I do kind of like the challenge, I suppose. Tom, go ahead. That's my next little adventure, is actually going back into my OpenGD 77 and see how you do text calls or how you send text through, because I have to use the open spot, you know, to do that, because on TalkGroup 51, I don't think you can send a text. I mean, you can't change the, if you're on the MI5 repeater, it's strictly 51 or 52, you know, so you can't change its talk group, you know, 91 or 93 or 3100. You don't need that through OpenSpot. There's only one repeater, and I think that's down in Milan, Ann Arbor area, where you can key in a different talk group and it changes your repeater. But when you do that, it changes it for everybody else on that frequency. So if you change it to talk group 91, which is worldwide, and that thing goes crazy, then it's locked in on 91 until somebody keys it up and changes it, you know, after that. So I stay away from that. I'll do that on my open spot, but I won't do that on somebody's repeater.
Yeah, I can see where that gets you in some trouble there. That's another thing, too, is I programmed statewide 1 and statewide 2, you know, 51 and 52, and I was getting nothing out of it. And so I Googled it, and Google tells me that statewide 1 and 2 is 31261, I think, talk group. So I'm like, what? So I program in 31261 kind of thing, and boom, there's statewide 1. So it's leaving me a little, I guess some of the info I'm getting is not, but then you're on, you just said you were on 51 and 52, so I don't know, I must have been doing something else wrong. But, so I got, I was talking to you today on statewide one, and on my machine it says 31261, so that's got the old man a little confused. KEWOJ, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, if I'm on my HD at home and I'm through open spot, I can dial in 31261 and that gives me MI5 statewide 1. But if you're on the actual CMEN repeaters, you know, like Detroit or Mount Clemens or, you know, the other ones that are around,
pad 3 you use talk group 51 is strictly MI5 network. You know, somebody on OpenSpot or the other computer linking devices through an HD, then you go on 31261 and then be on talk group 51. So you get him. So the 31261 through Brandmeister, but if you're going through the CMEN network itself, it's talk group 51. And I am arriving at my final destination, and my dog's licking the window. So I'll say 73 on your final, and I'll probably be around sometime later. KCKGO.
Okay, Tom, thanks. That makes perfect sense, too. The 51's probably on the Central Michigan, and, yep, the other's on Bradford. Anyway, that makes perfect sense. I kind of understand that. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You have a good night, and we'll catch you down the road. Sure enjoyed it. KEHWOJ, and I'll be clear.
Hey, Rick. KEHKGO, clear for the evening. Well, at least until I get in the house sometime.
Still does work.
Shut up. I was hoping you were going to be in my second favorite repeater. You weren't over there.
I called you on there, but you came late.
I'll be there in a second. That ain't thick ass.
Idiot.
KF8DRC from an 8WJZ600. N8WJZ, Cleveland clear. Thank you.
Pete.